And I'm excited to be here with you. You know, Paul told the Roman church, he had written a letter to him, and he said, I desire to be with you that I may impart something to you. So evidently, when we're together, there's an impartation that can take place that can't take place just from reading a book or from watching a video or something else. There's an impartation for you this morning. Amen? So agree together with me. Let's stand and we'll just thank God as we approach the Word together. Father, as we come this morning, Father, I thank you. Lord, I ask you to make me a blessing here, Father. Make me a blessing here to these people. I thank you for your impartation that you desire to get to everyone here this morning. We approach your Word humbly and reverently, Father. We set ourselves, we set our faith to receive exactly what you have in store for us this morning, at this place, at this time, in Jesus' name. You foreordained, you knew we were going to be here this morning, and you arranged things as such so that we could be here to receive what your Spirit had for us this morning, in Jesus' name. We give you thanksgiving for it. We thank you for truth impartations, divine impartations of your Holy Spirit, for opening our eyes that we'd see wondrous things from your law, and our ears that we would hear what your Word would say unto us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. All right, you can be seated. Turn to John chapter 4. I'm going to start here, and while we're going there, I'm going to tell you a joke I read on Facebook the other day. A friend of mine named Jay, I ushered with him at Rhema. He's always posting funny stuff, and he posted this. He said, last week, the 911 operator got a call, and she answered the phone and said, 911 can help you. And the lady on the phone said, yes, she said, I was cleaning his gun and I accidentally shot Jake. And so she said, what do I do next? And the operator said, well, ma'am, said the first thing to do is make sure that he's dead. And so he said, okay, so he laid the phone down and then you hear, bam! And then she goes back over there, all right, I've done that, what next? Some of y'all will get that on the way home. The operator meant, make sure, you know, see if he's still alive, not make sure you've done the job. You know, so sometimes you got to make sure you're listening all the way to those instructions. I was like, anyway, John chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 4. Now, we'll start here in verse 1. We're going to kind of skip down through here for sake of time this morning, but John chapter 4, verse 1 says, now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. So he's leaving Judea and he's heading to Galilee. He's on a trip. He's got a destination in mind, all right? Think about this when we read this. See, so many times we read the Bible stories and we put on like our religious thinking and we just read about, well, that's Jesus and I'm me, you know, or that's the disciples and I'm me, you know, that's not in Houston, Mississippi, or that's not in Duvain, France, you know, that was there in Judea and Galilee, but we gotta look at it and make it real and allow the Word to come alive to us. The Bible says that the Word of God is living and active. You know what that means is it's got relevance for us today. Amen. It can help us today. So we need to look at this and put ourselves in this position. But it says he was on his way from Judea to Galilee. It says now verse 4, now he had to go through Samaria. Think about this very simple thing. Just like we drove from Springfield, Missouri yesterday to Houston, Mississippi. And if I remember right, we came through Pontotoc. Is that right? The last big city kind of before we get here? So coming that way, is that the name of Pontotoc? Okay. Am I saying it right? Pontotoc or Pont? Okay, Pontotoc. So we drove through that city. We didn't stop there. That was not our destination. Now, we did stop at Oxford and tried to get gas at Walmart and went inside and all the machines were down. So we had to go to the Shell station instead of Walmart and pay him more money, but that's okay. So we came through Oxford. See, we came through those towns. We didn't stop there. It was not our destination. Our destination was Houston, Mississippi, right? So it's the same thing with Jesus. He's going from Judea to Galilee and it says he must go through Samaria. It's like if I'm driving in a car, I couldn't get here without going through Arkansas. I'm going to have to go through Arkansas to get here from Missouri. If I had a plane, I could get here from there without going, but I've got to drive through. You understand? It's the same thing. Excuse me. So he has to go through Samaria. So it says he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. In John chapter 4, verse 3. It says, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you're a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? Now again, when we read this, it's just words, but when you really think about this, think about the fact of the Jews and the Samaritans. Think about the relations between the Jews and the Samaritans. The Jews considered the Samaritans low, very low. They were people who had intermarried, who had not left during the Jewish dispersion. They were people that had also, they had forsaken Jehovah alone, and they had actually worshiped another god. These were people that were considered very low. It was unclean to talk to a Samaritan, for a good Jewish boy to talk to a Samaritan woman, and especially this Samaritan woman, as we're going to find out. She says, "What are you Jew?" So it's like, "What you Jew?" This was an insult. I mean, really, she was insulting him because she was expecting him to insult her. So you see, we have an adversarial relationship from the beginning here, and it says. Said, "You're a Jew," verse 9, "and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with the Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." So he replies back to her. Now, we can begin to see something here. As we read through this quickly, we see that, you know, Jesus could have answered her in a negative way. He could have answered her and said, "You're right, I shouldn't be talking to you because you're a Samaritan and I'm a Jew." But he didn't. He could have also been taken aback by how aggressive she was. I mean, think about that. He could have said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'll get my own water," you know. I mean, he could have said, "Well, I'll wait for my disciples." But he didn't. He didn't draw back. He kept moving forward. Does that make sense? He kept moving through with this. And so, keep reading here. But now also picture that Jesus didn't come there on an assignment. Jesus did everything that he did as a son of man. Does that make sense? It's like Mark Hankin says, this was not a deity trick. The things that he did, he couldn't tell his disciples, "Now y'all don't try this because it'll blow the nose clean off your face if you try to do some of this stuff." He did everything the same way that you and I could. Okay? So when he went to Shikar, he didn't know what was going on. It's not like he woke up every morning and there was an angel there with an iPad and said, "All right, Jesus, you're going to meet a woman named, we don't know her name, but you're going to meet a woman in Shikar and she's had five husbands and now she's shacked up with a guy." I mean, you see what I'm saying? He didn't have a printout of the day. Does that make sense? He didn't have one of his disciples with that. So he's just having to go and listen to the Holy Ghost. Same Holy Ghost you and I have. Amen? Amen? So here he is. So he goes and he's sitting here with this woman and he's thirsty. He asks her for a drink of water. She immediately gets into this racial thing with him. "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan and you don't have nothing to do with me," and all this kind of stuff. And he could have just said, "You know what? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I'm just passing through. Let me just get some water and go on. You know, wait for the boys to come back." Nothing. But he immediately says, "If you knew who it was who asked you, you would ask him for living water."
Yeah.
Now, even think about this. The fact that he, as the Son of God, would know that a Samaritan could receive the living water is really an eye-opening thing. I mean, they didn't think that the Samaritans could have anything because they had sold out to convenience and to a lot of other things. You can go back and learn about them. But here it is. So Jesus says, "If you knew who I am, you would have asked me for living water." So she didn't know about Jesus. She had no idea who he was. But she knew something about the Messiah. She knew something, as we're going to see here in just a minute. Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks this water," verse 13, "will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water that I give him will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and so I have to keep coming here." She's thinking indoor plumbing. That's all she's thinking of this thing. She's thinking, "I don't have to come to the well anymore and deal with all of this. That's great. Let me have this.